Chapter 19, Redbird. The girls who lived at Miss Pearl's parlor were the prettiest girls in San Angelo. Just like the Concho Pearl, each one was unique and beautiful. Redbird was known as being especially kind-hearted. Everybody loved her. A friend to all, she had a sixth sense and knew when someone was off her game. Whenever Redbird felt a friend was troubled, she often asked, "Are you okay?" Her friends were her treasures, and Redbird, in addition to being incredibly intelligent and loyal, was an excellent listener. Redbird laughed when they laughed and cried when they cried. Redbird, with shiny, thick, auburn hair, also had, as one man put it, legs up to there. Charming and appealing, she knew how to make a man feel like he was the most important, smartest, sexiest man she had ever met. Sexually, Redbird was extremely talented. A man always felt like he could take on the world after spending time with Redbird. This is Redbird's story. Redbird, whose real name was Linda Donovan, had grown up in what some in Texas referred to as high cotton and was the epitome of a well-bred lady. Her father, Michael Donovan, was a tall, robust, self-made millionaire who had started his working career as a lowly dock worker. He and his brother, Donald, owned an international importing company in Houston, Texas. Both brothers had vibrant red hair and were respected for their integrity and vigorous work ethics. Offspring of Irish immigrants, their father had also worked on the docks. They began their business in Galveston, but then relocated to Houston in 1900 after the deadliest hurricane in American history took the lives of over 8,000 people and destroyed most of the buildings on Galveston Island. Tragically, their own dear mother had been killed in the storm, and her body was never found. When Linda's father was 37 years old, he had married Alice Gallagher, whom he had fallen in love with the first time he had ever laid eyes on her, at a business lunch between her father and the brothers. When Alice's mother died, she traveled throughout Europe with her father on business trips. Although she was only 17 years old, her maturity, poise, and elegance captivated him as much as her dark curly hair, ivory skin, and sparkling emerald green eyes. Michael was 20 years her senior, but from the first time he had seen her, he was smitten. Alice, a beauty, and Michael, strikingly handsome, traveled extensively during the first 5 years of their marriage. He took her back to Europe on his business trips. They spent at least a week in New York before and after they crossed the Atlantic. When Linda was born, Alice hired a nanny so the baby could travel with her parents. Several years later, when Linda's brothers were born, although they still traveled to Europe once a year, her parents stayed in Texas most of the time. To make up for the lack of European travel, Michael found creative ways to entertain his bride. Michael Donovan was a romantic. Every Saturday night, he hired a string quartet, and he and Alice dined and danced on the terrace, always decorated with candles and flowers. Michael had a custom wooden dance floor installed because he knew how much Alice loved to dance. Alice also loved to entertain. Linda remembered her mother's long, elegant gowns, gracefully flowing as her father glided his bride across the ballroom in their home. Michael loved Alice so much that whenever she was present, it was as if she was the only person in the room. Linda stayed in the nursery with her younger brothers and kept them entertained while her parents carried on their fairy tale romance. Many times children are wiser than they are given credit for. When Linda was 10 years old, she became aware that her mother had a wandering eye. Men looked at Alice and often took an extra moment to gaze deeply into her eyes for a covert response. Linda watched her mother respond with a coy smile. No wonder she was the envy of so many women. She flirted with their husbands. Although Linda's father was aware of his wife's wandering eye, he tried to pretend that nothing was going on. Linda noticed her father watching her mother with sadness in his eyes. Then she watched as he would intervene with whomever she was flirting with as if nothing were going on. Linda loved her father so much that it hurt her heart when she saw his sorrow. Her mother gradually left the house more and more frequently and was coming home later and later at night. When Alice was at home, she drank heavily and started trivial arguments to give her an excuse for sleeping in another room. Finally, Linda's parents were sleeping in separate bedrooms. Linda felt her father's sadness and frustration. The once beautiful music and romantic evenings on the terrace turned into hateful arguments, ending with Alice's stomping into her bedroom and slamming the door. Linda's little brothers cried. Linda tried her best to console them. On October 9th, Linda's 12th birthday, she awoke to the sound of her father's crying, a strange sound. It was the first time she had ever heard him cry. Linda ran into his room to see what was wrong.
She's gone, Linda. Your mother is gone.
Linda tried to reassure her father, although she knew it was true.
Oh, Daddy, surely you're mistaken.
She left this note.
Dear Michael, I know now I never loved you. I was so young when we married, and I confused admiration with love. Take care of the children. I know they will be fine without me. You are a responsible man, and I am confident that you will see to their welfare. Nathan Carter is relocating and has invited me to live with him in New York City. You know how I love it there. I believe he is the true love of my life. Tell the children goodbye, Alice.
Oh, Daddy!
Linda fell on the bed and wept. From that day forward, Linda tried to keep up the spirits in the household. Yet no matter how she tried, she never saw her father smile again. Often she heard her younger brothers Alex and Anthony cry themselves to sleep. Sometimes they would find her in the night and crawl into bed with her. Their family had been destroyed, and she knew she needed to be the glue to hold things together. Linda's father went into a deep depression, most days coming home early from work and isolating himself in his room. Some days he didn't go to work at all. Linda tried, but nothing she did helped to cheer him up. His spirit was shattered, and his will to live faded away. A little over 8 months after her mother had left, Linda found her father in bed, not moving. His heart so broken, it finally just stopped beating. He was 52 years old.
Donald Donovan, Michael's brother and business partner, was the appointed guardian of Linda and her two younger brothers. 3 years older than Linda's father, he was an aloof man, focused entirely on business.
His wife Gertrude was a matronly, cold woman, incapable of showing affection to anyone. Their sons had both married long ago, and it was clear Gertrude was not happy about taking on new wards. Linda's aunt and uncle moved into the grand, elegant house where Alice and Michael Donovan once carried on a fairy tale romance on the terrace, entertained with beautiful parties, and held garden teas. Every room held a memory of Linda's parents. She chose to forget the fighting and only remember the laughter and the happiness she saw in her father's eyes as he danced with his beloved Alice on those magical Saturday nights. Linda's Uncle Donald worked long hours, and Aunt Gertrude lived by the code,
"Children should be seen and not heard,"
which left Linda and her brothers emotionally lost. Linda tried to warm her brothers' hearts in an environment that was cold and conversation was formal and hostile. She knew that she was the only light in her brothers' lives and that she had to be strong. She created games and codes and formed a secret club that made Aunt Gertrude the mortal enemy. The children rarely left the nursery, where Linda masterfully created a fantasy world for them. She told her brothers stories of faraway lands and castles, called them names like King Alexander and Sir Anthony, and commended them for slaying fierce dragons. They even made up Gertie, an evil witch named after their aunt. Her creativity worked well in masking their reality. The boys adored their big sister. As the years went by, Linda became a stunning young woman with beautiful long auburn hair, emerald green eyes, and ivory skin, just like her mother. Tall and slender, she glided across the room with grace and style. Aunt Gertrude was not happy about the men's attention to her niece. The prettier Linda became, the more hateful her aunt was to her.
"She's going to turn out just like her mother. I see trouble on the way."
The harder Linda tried to get along with her aunt, the more distant she became. When nothing was ever good enough for Aunt Gertrude, Linda stopped trying. Because Alex and Anthony were so important to her, she kept them busy and made sure their homework was finished every night. Thank goodness for Linda's best friend, Lucy, the only female in her life that she ever trusted. Lucy patiently listened to Redbird's secrets and frustrations. In the 5 years she had been gone, Alice Donovan had made no contact with her children. The boys were silent in their grief and pain. Being abandoned by their mother made them dependent on Linda, and although she was also in emotional pain, she rose to the occasion with strength and valor. Linda made sure her brothers had decent birthdays with money she got from her Uncle Donald. She learned that her uncle would give her money when she asked, as long as Aunt Gertrude wasn't around. Although the boys rarely climbed into bed with her anymore, Linda kept her bedroom door unlocked, just in case. One Christmas, their mother sent a huge box full of gifts addressed to Linda, Alex, and Anthony. Linda had mixed emotions. She didn't know if she should be glad, sad, angry, or indifferent, and her brothers were completely lost. It was as if a stranger had sent them Christmas gifts. They did not know how to respond. Alex barely remembered his mother, and Anthony's only memory of her was the day she left and kissed him goodbye. Linda decided not to open the gifts, for fear that their hurt and grief might surface. She suggested that they give the presents to the church, and her brothers agreed. Aunt Gertrude's jealousy of Linda and her Uncle Donald's apathy pulled the siblings closer. Every evening, Uncle Donald shut himself in the library with a bottle of whiskey. He chose to distance himself from his family, putting his energy into his work. Linda didn't really blame him.
Everyone in the house had different ways of coping with Aunt Gertrude. Linda didn't date because she was dedicated to her brothers. The older they got, the more she felt they needed her. At school, Lucy had been her best friend and confidant. Lucy was Linda's sunshine. After Lucy had been drugged and accused of being drunk at a dance, her mother had sent her to live with her aunt in San Angelo, Texas. Devastated, Linda had never felt so alone. She railed at her mother for leaving them and making her father ill. The pain of abandonment was almost too much to bear. Living with Aunt Gertrude built up resentment. For therapy, Linda began writing short stories that helped with her pain. Gertie was always the villain. Sometimes Linda referred to her as Dirty Gertie.
Dirty Gertie, she's a wicked witch.
Linda created characters that expressed her emotions, and at times, she even wrote poetry. Writing helped her unleash the deep pain that dwelled inside her heart. When Linda graduated from high school at the top of her class, Uncle Donald and the boys attended the ceremony, but Aunt Gertrude stayed home. A few weeks later, Linda's cousin Kyle and a business partner, Connor Murphy, came to visit. Connor's family was extremely wealthy, and he was investigating a business venture with her uncle's company. The negotiations and business conversations had been going well until Connor met Linda at dinner one evening when his focus shifted. During the meal, Connor could not stop staring at Linda. She was wearing an emerald green dress that beautifully complemented her shapely curves and long red hair. The way he looked at Linda made her uncomfortable. This was a man who was used to getting his way. After dinner, Connor and Kyle shared brandy and cigars on the front porch. He had already had too much wine at dinner.
Why don't you come outside with us, my dear?
No, thank you. I will be retiring upstairs early this evening.
She's not very friendly. Kind of snooty.
Upstairs with her brothers playing Parcheesi, Alex observed.
That guy was creepy. I didn't like him at all.
Anthony concurred.
That guy is so creepy.
He'll be gone soon enough. Let's just play and forget about him.
You're so much fun, Linda.
That night, Connor slipped into Linda's bedroom and locked the door. He climbed on top of her and clamped his hand over her mouth.
Don't scream. I know people who will hurt your brothers in ways you can't even imagine. Just do what I tell you to do.
Linda had never been so frightened in her life. She wanted her father. She wanted her mother. The night was horrible. After he had finished, he stood up and stumbled onto the nightstand, knocking a large porcelain lamp onto the floor. It made a loud crash and broke into hundreds of pieces. Aunt Gertrude heard the noise and shook her husband to wake him. Together, they ran to Linda's side of the house and encountered Connor stumbling out of her room. Although it was completely clear what had happened, Gertrude ignored the fact that Connor was drunk and that Linda was hysterical. Instead, she took full advantage of the situation.
What is going on here? You nasty girl, you nasty, nasty girl. I want you out of my house immediately.
Her house? It was Linda's house. Her brother's house. Aunt Gertrude was an intruder. It was not her house. It was theirs.
Please, no. Don't send Linda away.
I want you all out of my house. I'm through with the lot of you. I've had enough, and I will tolerate no more.
Gertrude now had a sordid story, all she needed to justify her diabolical plans. Uncle Donald did not argue and chose not to pick this battle. He had learned long ago it was far better for him in the long run to let Gertrude have her way. Besides, whiskey and work were all he cared about. He figured, in light of the evening's events, it was probably better that Linda leave to protect his business interests with the Connors family.
Kyle, sympathetic and even remorseful to his cousin, quickly took the drunken Connor out of the house and checked him into a local hotel. The next day, Kyle, as weak as his father, pretended nothing had happened. Fewer than 20 minutes with Connor had ruined Linda's life and separated her from Anthony and Alex. Her family had been destroyed, and she was powerless. The next day was a nightmare. Aunt Gertrude instructed the maid to pack Linda's bags.
I am leaving for the day. I cannot stand to be in the same house as you. You are trouble and a nasty, nasty girl.
Although it was obvious to everyone what really happened, Aunt Gertrude would not back down.
I cannot even look at you, and I hope I never have to again.
These were the last words Linda heard from her Aunt Gertrude. Linda was heartbroken and worried about her brothers, who wept as she bid them goodbye.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
Aunt Gertrude is so mean. No, Linda, don't leave us. No, Linda, no.
Don't worry. We'll be together again someday. I promise.
Don't take Linda.
Uncle Donald gave Linda $500 and sent her on her way. He was strictly business, with no time for emotional concerns. The next week, the boys were enrolled into a summer camp and then boarding school. Aunt Gertrude finally had her way. The big house was completely hers. Linda thought of her friend Lucy, who had moved to San Angelo to live with her aunt after her mother had kicked her out of the house. Lucy had written Linda to tell her she was working at the Landon Hotel. In the letter, she had told her she missed her and invited her to visit any time. Linda thought that was as good an option as any, so she bought a train ticket on the Orient Railroad to San Angelo, Texas. When Linda arrived at the train station, she realized that this new world was quite different from Houston. It was a dust bowl compared to the greenery and tall pine trees that she had always known. Yet, she was impressed with how quiet and peaceful it seemed. A warm, dry breeze felt good on her skin. Linda had only known the humidity of Houston. This new arid climate seemed like a nice change. Linda decided to check into the Landon, a first-class hotel. She was impressed with the interior design. She checked into a room and unpacked her bags. Tired and hungry, Linda called room service and ordered lunch. She thought of the days when she was a little girl and the family went to Corpus Christi and enjoyed holidays on the beach. Although she hadn't been in a hotel since she was a little girl, she remembered that her mother ordered room service for lunch and saved the dining experience for the evening meal. Still sore from her horrible ordeal, only two nights before with Connor, Linda decided to take a bath after lunch. In the peace of her room, Linda realized she was alone. Sitting in the warm tub, she sobbed. For the last 48 hours, Linda had suppressed her feelings. Ever since her mother left, she had been taking care of first her father and then her two little brothers. Linda had been taking care of someone else and had seldom considered her own sadness and abandonment. Instead, she had opted to fill the void by tending to the family. Today, it had all come to a climax. She cried herself to sleep and didn't wake up until dawn. When Linda did wake up, she realized her nightmare was real. Ever resilient, however, she rolled out of bed, washed her face, and put on a lovely yellow dress, one of the several nice dresses she owned. Her Uncle Donald had never been stingy with her father's money and allowed Linda to shop regularly, even though Aunt Gertrude protested strongly. In the Landon's lobby, Linda watched the bell clerks tending to luggage in the hustle and bustle of the new day. She walked outside and headed in the direction of the Concho River. The sun felt warm on her skin, and the river sparkled as if it knew she needed cheering up. Linda focused on her new life. Although she was missing her brothers, at the same time, she was ecstatic to get away from Dirty Gertie, and she was looking forward to seeing Lucy. After a long stroll by the Concho River, Linda headed back to the Landon Hotel. In the lobby, she asked the front desk if they could tell her where Lucy was. The two clerks behind the desk looked at each other, both rolling their eyes. The taller one finally spoke up.
Lucy doesn't work here anymore. You can find her at Miss Pearl's parlor. It's the big three-story mansion on the Concho River on the northwest side of town. You can't miss it. Here's the address.
Thank you kindly.
The two clerks stared at Linda for a moment and watched her walk away, then looked at each other with smirky grins. After breakfast, Linda took a cab to Miss Pearl's parlor, a glorious mansion with a lovely view of the Concho River. After thanking the cab driver, Linda curiously walked up the steps and knocked at the door. A black woman greeted her with a friendly smile.
May I help you?
Yes, ma'am. My name is...
Redbird!